Blog Talk Radio.
This is the RF Radio Show with OJ and Dreadfish.
Good evening, everybody. It's 6:30 Eastern Time, and you're listening to Radio RF. I'm here. I'm your host, Dreadfish, here with my co-host, Itty OJ.
Hello.
So today, we're just doing a generic episode. So this is our second installment in the formal generic episode series, and this episode is titled Current Events, where we'll be talking about events which are currently happening or in the process of happening. So any events currently happening in your life?
Well, obviously I've been talking about all this, you know, craziness going on at work. You know, I still have all that going on. And again, if you missed it, I sort of got a promotion at work, I guess. I mean, instead of hiring a new custodian to replace on the one that left for a coworker for me, they just hired an outside crew and to expanded how much they think we had them before. I would do like the they did the office areas and I did like the data center area and you know now they kind of just I kind of get to they do almost everywhere and I do the most secure areas and then I kind of make sure they do everything or whatever. So I don't know. We also had a grand opening for our expanded data center, so we just expanded. So we had a grand opening last week, and I was actually given a gift card at work for helping set that up. And we had to get our gift card, and I ended up spending it all on gardening plants. So, and I know I posted pictures of my garden a few weeks ago. I significantly increased what I'm growing now, though, including some yellow tomatoes. Some purple basil, Thai basil, and we have some red peppers, purple peppers, poblano peppers, and like a dragon pepper. It's nice and hot and spicy oregano. I've got two other types of red tomatoes. What else do we get? This is it, mostly. And the reason I bought so many basil and tomato plants is because when planted together, they help each other. And pepper actually grows well around the same plants, too. So the three tend to grow pretty well together, and they can be mutually beneficial to each other in the soil. My wife says the basil also affects the taste of the tomatoes. When you plant them in the same soil, they'll significantly more tasty tomatoes.
Well, tomato and basil usually does go together, so it makes sense to plant them together. How do they benefit each other when they're planted in the same, you know, general area?
You know, I'll be honest, I'm still trying to understand all this. It's kind of a new area that I'm looking into called companion planting, and there's a whole host of various plants that that get when planted together have mutually beneficial to each other. I'm assuming it's similar to the way like certain trees and funguses work together. Whereas each plant produces and lifts something off of the other plant finds beneficial. That means that I don't know exactly what the transition is between the two plants.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, we've recently planted a few herbs. We've got a half barrel planter. We've got some herbs planted in. Let's see. We have, of course, thyme. We have basil. We have two different types of sage, I think. Or no, we have a sage. We have an oregano. I think two different types of oregano. Some parsley. Somewhere we have garlic chives, which are great. But I just picked a few leaves of stuff to mix into the vegetables I had for dinner lunch earlier. But it was pretty good.
Yeah, I saw the garlic. The garlic chives. So is that basically garlic flavored chives?
I guess so. Actually, I don't know where they're planted. I haven't tried them yet. But
you haven't tried them yet. Okay. I saw them at the store. And so I'm assuming that the reason they're garlic chives is they don't grow both, but they just grow garlic, right? And by the way, garlic is grass
flavor.
You grow, you can actually eat that green stem that goes up, and it tastes phenomenal. However, I think by doing that, it does affect the growth of the bulb under the ground. So you wouldn't want to really do it to all your bulbs. I know last year I didn't plant any garlic in the ground, but I did sprout one in a cup of water in a windowsill, and I continually harvested the green growth for at least 3 months, and I added like bits of fresh garlic to every dish I had. Same way you might add like a green onion or something.
That sounds nice. That reminds me how a few years ago I tried to grow an avocado. I don't think we had the weather appropriate for it at the time, though. It wasn't quite warm enough, but it did start to grow. But you get the pit out, you know, try not to damage it too much, and then you fix 4 toothpicks just inside the outside of whatever is the outside of a pit, you know, and you hang it, or, you know, you place it on a glass so that the toothpicks hold it up and suspend it, and then you fill it with water so it gives it water, just the bottom of it like that, and it's supposed to grow. I remember it starting to grow, but I think it's because it wasn't the right time of year. It wasn't warm enough consistently. I might try to do that
again. I've looked into that. I've heard that it makes a beautiful houseplant, but I'm not 100% sure on whether or not you'll ever get a harvestable fruit that way by regrowing it.
If I remember, I think growing it that way, it will eventually harvest, but it takes a long time, if nothing else. If it does harvest, it does take a long time for it to actually grow fruit. I'm not sure about that.
It might, right now.
Yeah, it might be one of those plants that has on email.
What was that? I'm sorry.
I was just saying it might be one of those plants that requires a male and a female to actually have fruit. I'm not sure.
I had actually read an interesting article a couple of months ago. I think there was almost like 50 uses for avocado pits. A lot of them are interesting. Some of them are like an ink, one was like a face mask. Obviously, one was replanting for a house plant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember some other ones that were like pretty interesting. Well, I think you could make avocado oil out of it with one method. However, that's not actually, I guess, the best method to making avocado oil. And apparently you had to basically make your avocado go bad to make. What you do is when you make avocado oil is, and I haven't done it, so I just briefly researched it, you kind of get a very mushy avocado and then kind of scrape it all out and put it into a bag and let it into the sun and let it kind of blacken. And then, you let it blacken and then you kind of squeeze out and then it gets kind of oily after like a day or two and you squeeze that out and filter it. For something, I don't know, I haven't done it. I don't necessarily know the full process. But yeah, my wife was saying how disgusting that sounds, and that was the reaction to when I read it. I was like, ew.
Yeah. I just read that sometimes, as this is an article explaining the same process, it's on gardenweb.com, it says, will my tree ever grow fruit? Sometimes they will begin setting fruit after they're 3 or 4 years old. However, it helps to have several avocado trees growing together to aid in pollination. So a little bit of both there. But, yeah, it does take 3 or 4 years. So, and also, random fact, avocados contain 60% more potassium per ounce than bananas. So that's cool.
Yeah, actually, bananas are like the bottom of the list of things that give potassium.
Oh, wow. Well, I didn't know that. I do love bananas. I eat a banana every morning. Breakfast, have my water, then a banana, and then my cup of coffee. Because I don't like to eat.
Do you like plantains?
Do I like what?
Plantains?
Oh, yes. I haven't had them a whole lot, actually, but I do like plantains. We can't, of course, get really good plantains around here because, you know, they're never usually ripe enough, and then they ripen in the store. But I think I had plantains in Malaysia, actually. I'm pretty sure my stepmom made fried plantains for us.
Mm. Oh, yeah, fried plantains all the time at the farmer market by me. Nice, you like to fry them up, make a nice dessert after dinner or something. What's your favorite type of banana? I like the little red bananas.
Yeah, actually, I was just about to mention that when I was in Malaysia, my dad loved those little bananas. Actually, it wasn't the red ones, though. They have just little bananas there.
I don't like them. They're a little too... The baby banana then? Smaller? They're a little too starchy.
They're
and
kind of
like
these were different. I think these were a different breed altogether, but they were little bananas, just like the red ones, but they're yellow. They had a very thin peel on them, and they were really good, a different kind of sweetness, really good. But I had some.
Oh, yeah, I think they had the story. I maybe I didn't have ripe ones. I found them like eating an unripe like an unripe banana almost, even when they were like gooey. I don't know.
Now, these were a different breed. These were yellow bananas too, but they grew small and stayed small. But I did have red banana balls. They were giant red bananas.
No, I have
like
small yellow bananas.
Regular red ones.
Me too. There's a huge variety of produce in my area. Yeah, there's like big bananas. There's at least two big bananas in my area, and there's the small red ones, the small yellow ones. Two types of plantains. We got like 40 types of oranges I can pick from.
Yeah, I've heard. My dad has told me while I was over there, actually, the wild bananas that grow. Like you can't actually eat those. They have big seeds and they're really fat. I think they don't even look like regular bananas, as far as we know. I'll have to look that up. But that's what I was told.
No, Kevin hands up the banana proved God and creationism, which is funny because man made banana the sheep. Banana is.
Oh yeah, here's a picture of a wild banana. It does have really big black seeds in it. I think they're hard too. And there's banana carving. So, speaking of some things I was reading today, I was reading a little bit about the new Star Wars movie, and I was reading it on Cracked. Got an email because I subscribed to that. But it was some reasons why the movie was going to be bad. Now, of course, you know, the movie might not be bad. I'm on the fence. Like, of course, like everybody else, I want it to be great, but I'm also really afraid that it's not going to be. You know, of course, Disney makes good movies, and J.J. Abrams makes good movies. I mean, if you think about the Star Trek movies, those were well made, you know. So it does have a lot of potential, but then I think about Marvel and the fact that Disney owns Marvel and they're responsible for the Marvel movies. And some of them aren't, you know, it's kind of questionable quality. So I guess I kind of worry about it because I grew up watching Star Wars, but I'm also looking forward to it. So we'll see.
I'm excited. I mean, outside of a handful of movies, for the most part, Disney makes some pretty stellar movies. I know a lot of people didn't like the prequels, and I can see why. I definitely don't think they're as bad as people like to pretend, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I guess, in the unpopular seat of saying that Episode 1 was actually better than Episode 2 and 3. I mean, minus Jar Jar Binks, because he was pretty irritating. But, you know, in Episode 1, they still used models for the craft and the aliens. They didn't use computerization. They overused computerization in Episode 2 and 3, I think. And I liked Qui-Gon Jinn, all that. And even Anakin I didn't have a problem with because I was pretty much his age whenever. I was a little bit older, I think, whenever that movie came out. So, of course, I liked him. But besides Jar Jar, like, I thought Episode 1 was just fine.
Which one is that the one that had the pod races in it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I remember my dad made me eat nachos, and I hated nachos. And then I ended up, like, projectile vomiting all over the people in the seats in front of me, and we had to leave the movie early.
That's funny. I remember when I saw it.
What year
was
that?
It was during the summer. I was so excited to see a Star Wars movie because, you know, of course, didn't think Star Wars was ever going to happen again. Like, that was something that was made before I was born. I don't know when the last one was made, actually. And then, you know, I grew up watching those. They already happened, you know. So whenever there was a new one coming out, I was super excited.
I think everyone was super excited in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. But Episode 2 and 3,
I probably won't go see any of the Star Wars movies in theater. I'm not really I said I'm like a horror movie and the occasional action or movie. I'm not really the person to go see a movie in the theaters. I mean, like, I went and saw, like, basically almost every horror movie I'll go see if I can, and I don't miss them. But I just enjoy a horror movie. And there's something about the idiot next to you screaming that makes the movie a little bit scarier.
Yeah.
And then with action movies, like, I saw Godzilla in the movie theaters, and there's something about a Godzilla that, you know, like, three stories tall on the movie screen that is way better than, you know, my tiny-ass TV.
Yeah, something like Godzilla would definitely be better in a theater. I actually haven't.
You know what was a good movie in the theater? The Star Trek movies. Especially the first one. Wow. That was a cinematic experience.
Yeah, I don't think I didn't see that in the theaters either. I don't remember the last movie I saw in theaters, actually. I'm not sure I could think of it. But you were speaking of horror for a minute there, and the nerd in me was thinking of a cool game I played recently. I played it before, actually, with a friend. It's a survival horror game called Amnesia: The Dark Descent, and it's an independent game. It's made by Frictional Games. They're a Swedish game company, I think. But it's a really good survival horror game. The basic premise is your character wakes up here in this castle, and you don't remember anything except your name and where you're from. So you start to explore, and you find a note, you know, saying that you chose to forget whatever happened, and you have to go into the center keep of this castle and kill this man whose name I just forgot. And so anyway, as you're going through, you gradually find notes and journal entries laying around that reveal the story to you. So you finally put all the pieces together by the time you get to the end of the game. And there are monsters which you run into along the way. They're gradually introduced more and more. And the scary part is the anticipation, not knowing when a monster is going to come out, and also the fact that you can't fight any of the monsters. So you're totally helpless. You know, if you're playing one of those horror games that are a first-person shooter, you can fight the monsters. It's kind of scary, but you can kill them. But in this one, you have to hide. If they see you, you have to run, try to get out of their sight and hide. Or maybe you can throw something at them to stagger them for a moment. But otherwise, you're completely helpless to monsters, which that's what really makes it scary. It's a really good game, though. Oh, it's so fun. It was such a thrill to play that game alone, too. And they made a sequel, too. It's Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs. And it goes along the same lines of you finding the story out as you go along, you starting out not remembering anything. And really good games, so I recommend those to any PC gamers out there. And I think it's ported to Linux and Mac as well. Hmm?
No, PC gamers are the only gamers that count.
Yeah, I love PC gaming. Like, I used to really be into console gaming growing up, and the Nintendo 64 and PlayStation 2 are awesome. But I just kind of ran out of that. The games are expensive.
Yeah, I disagree. I think PlayStation 1 and the GameCube. Yeah, the GameCube or maybe N64 were like the last good consoles. Everything since like PlayStation 2 and Wii have kind of sucked. Xbox, it's all garbage.
Nintendo. Like, I liked the GameCube. Apparently, a lot of people didn't. I think it's fair to say the PlayStation 2 was the great, you know, last really good system. The PlayStation 2 had so many games, good games. It had some hardware problems, but it was a pretty good system.
You know, I was pretty deep into PC gaming when PlayStation 2 came out, and it just built. I mean, you just can't compare consoles to PC. It's simply, there's no competition. I mean, PC wins in every way, shape, or form.
It's true. Like, the only downside is, but you can still do this with PCs, is in-person multiplayer, which we don't really have too much in consoles anymore anyway because they're all online multiplayer. But,
yeah.
You can get USB controllers. Yeah, LAN parties. And the Xbox controllers are plug-and-play with Microsoft Windows, so you can get Xbox controllers, Xbox 360 controllers, and you can play on your PC. Plus, you can emulate all the old stuff, too, so, you know.
Hey, and by the way, all you Xbox players, you had to play online for the same games that people will be playing online for free if they have a PC.
Mm-hmm. They're both Microsoft things, but PC, much better.
Now we have a bunch of angry callers on the bed.
That was our second installment of the Geeks Corner, you know, talking about some video games.
So I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really have, like, a working radio. And I don't have, like, cable or satellite. So outside of RF and Facebook and, like, you know, water cooler talking at work, I don't really know what the hell is going on in the world, man.
Yeah, I haven't been listening to NPR as much as I used to. I used to keep my radio on in my room all the time. I still listen to it when I'm driving. Among the few things I have heard, one I was happy to hear about, was that a court ruled that the NSA data collection is illegal. So that's really nice to hear.
What does that actually mean for us, though, as people? What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. You know, this is the NSA is saying that this is legal under some portion of the Patriot Act. And so this is kind of pertinent time because the Patriot Act is up for renewal within the next couple of months. So I'm not sure what it means directly right now, but I'm hoping that this is a step in the direction of ending it. And I think that it is, unless for some reason, you know, something gets amended with the Patriot Act that makes it legal, which would be scary.
I guess we'll see. I mean, luckily, Obama is no longer eligible for re-election, so his doesn't necessarily have the political need to do things that are not in our best interest, only in the interest of his legacy. I mean, I know he originally had promised to repeal the Patriot Act, but then didn't, and you're kind of pissed off him for it, you know. But when you look at it kind of practically, I mean, I think it was 90-something percent of the Congress people voted for in favor of it anyways, and it would have passed with or without a signature. What he did do by signing was save him some political clout, not that it did him any good with these lame duck sessions of Congress or anything. But it was trying to burn some political, you know, not make many political enemies. But, I mean, it would have passed with or without him, which is, I mean, something, again, people want to blame the president for. But then they failed. Then they re-elect a congressman that did the same damn thing. They're pissed off at the president for it. And it's just like, people, we've had Congress people in Congress for longer than I've been alive who are so old, they don't know anything. They have no connection to anything. And then the longer someone's in Congress, the easier it is for them to be, I mean, under the control of their investors.
Yep. Yeah, it seems like the Congress is kind of broken. I'm not sure what anybody's going to do about it, though. And to be honest, I should know more about it, but I don't know too much about what goes on in the electing of congressmen, so I'm not sure.
Oh, I think like 90% of the time the incumbent always wins.
Hmm.
Which is why, again, you need to have term limits, and it's pretty important.
Yeah, it does seem silly that the president has term limits, but Congress people don't have term limits, especially considering
and
how
Congress
much
has more power than the president.
Right, yeah, like they ought to have term limits as well to keep everything fresh, you know, that sort of thing. One of the other news stories I heard, first actually I read this on RF, but then I just saw this while reading about another story, which I'll get to in a minute. Harry Shearer, the voice of Mr. Burns and a couple other Simpsons characters, is leaving the show, apparently. So, don't know what that means.
That.
Yeah, let's see. Well, they don't plan to kill off his characters, but they'll replace him with, you know, voice actor, you know, somehow. So, I don't watch The Simpsons too much, but I really like it. We'll see what happens, I guess. I mean, you know, they've changed voice actors on a lot of other animated shows. I think that it's not really a big deal. It's just a big deal because he's been there so long.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see how the fans react and stuff.
Yeah, well, it is in its, 27th and 28th seasons. So I guess it's in 28th now. It's a long time. 26. I think.
No, it's in the 26th, and they were just trying to renew for the 27th and 28th. But it didn't renew with that guy, and that's why he's leaving. So they're on the 26th right now.
That reminds me of speaking of renewals, I also heard on the radio some shows which are up for reboots on TV and on Netflix. You know, this is kind of the age of remaking old things, both in TV and movies. On one hand, I think, whenever I think of movies, I think of it as kind of a cop-out, you know, no more original ideas. In the way of TV, though, for some of the ones I've heard about, I'm actually excited. One of the ones which sounds really cool to me is they are rebooting The Muppet Show, and they plan to be doing it in the style of The Office, like a mockumentary type thing. That sounds really cool to me. Like, Muppets are awesome. That's a cool format, especially for The Muppets, the kind of comedy that they have, you know, because The Muppets, you know, it's kind of presented like a kid's show, but really it's not so much a kid's thing. Like,
no,
there's hidden adult
humor
in there. Yeah, you know, The Muppets are great. So I'm excited about that. I don't remember which network is doing that. a few others. Again, I don't remember the networks. They are rebooting The X-Files. I've never really watched that.
Yeah, Fox is doing that. That's Fox.
Yeah, Fox. What was the other one? They're making some TV versions of a few movies, I think, including Minority Report. Oh, and they are rebooting Full House, and they're calling it Fuller House.
It's more like a sequel. It's going to be called
sort of,
Fuller
yeah.
House. And it's about
the daughter
DJ
and her best friend.
Yeah, and I guess her husband dies or whatever. It's a tragic family, huh?
Yeah. I remember, I actually haven't watched that in a long time, but I remember that I watched it a lot when I was a little kid. Apparently I loved that show.
It was also on a lot when we were little kids.
Yeah, it was. And it's on a lot now. I think Nick at Night has it, TV Land, something like that. Trying to find another one that was on Netflix, which I was excited about. I can't find it.
Okay, well, in the meantime, we have some non-pulp culture, non-pulp pop culture. I don't know what I just said a moment ago. Wow. The fast track for the Trans-Pacific partnership was shot down by Democrats in the Senate. Now, I'm not quite sure exactly what it means by just shooting down the fast track part of it. I guess that he was trying to speed it through or whatever. So it's going to have to go through the whole process, which will be a good thing because a lot of evidence suggests that this partnership is particularly bad for Americans and American people and American workers.
I'm not sure at the details of TPP, but everything I've heard about it, like it's in the interest of big companies, not in the interest of regular people. So I'm concerned about that.
It seems like every law is in going in that direction nowadays.
Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate. I don't know. I feel like public awareness is growing enough, and given the way that millennials, as they've called them now, are kind of leaning, I think that we're in the direction of positive future, I think.
Well, are you and I, are we millennials?
I am. Because,
yeah,
we were born right after.
But I think I'm technically a millennial.
Yeah, I think millennials come after Generation X. But I'm not sure, and I know I'm not Generation X, so... Well, there's Generation Y, but I think that's the same as millennials. Yeah, it is. So, yeah, we are Generation Y or millennials.
See, I feel like there's a slight difference between the two.
Well, the Wikipedia article says millennials, also known as the millennial generation or Generation Y, are the demographic cohort following Generation X. No precise dates, blah, blah, blah. Researchers and commentators use birth years ranging from the early 1980s to the early 2000s.
Okay, then I guess I'm a millennial.
Yeah, I thought some of the early 1980s were Generation X, but apparently not.
Hmm.
Oh, actually, yeah, this one now says early 1960s to early 1980s. So there's some overlap. Obviously, it's not going to be precise.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, an exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna play a song.
Okay.
I'm gonna upload it first. I'm gonna do that first. So I'm just gonna randomly pick a number. I don't know what it's called.
Sure.
By the way, guys, Dread finished school for the season, semester, term of semester,
yep,
not season.
The school season. Yeah, it's nice. I enjoy classes a lot, actually, but I don't enjoy homework. I don't like, having certain things due at certain times. I would personally go to class twice as much if it meant not having homework. But so kind of bittersweet. I enjoyed my classes. It's been a good semester, but I'm happy not to have any homework. And I did find what that other show they're resurrecting. It's Heroes. So that might be interesting. That was a cool show.
I don't know.
I feel like there's really nothing interesting in the last, like, decade. It's just rip-offs of rip-offs of rip-offs. That being said, I don't really follow pop culture anymore. I don't really watch TV, and, you know, I'm really, really picky with movies I go and see. So,
yeah.
I'm not the person anymore.
I haven't kept up with any current TV shows, I don't think. I've been watching Supernatural on TNT. I did see, not the most recent season, but the one before the current one. And then they kind of started over the cycle, so I've been watching from the beginning again. It's a fun show. I used to make fun of my friends for watching it, but then I started watching it. And I just kind of like, you know, oh, this is a dumb show. And I didn't take it seriously until I saw an episode that showed me that the show itself doesn't take itself seriously. And then I was like, oh, okay, actually, this is pretty cool. You know,
my wife likes the show, but it's not a bad show. I just never gained any interest when I tried watching it. Anyways, I have this song uploaded, so I'm gonna play this.
Alright.
I think it's track number 7. There's a name, and it's by Diamond. You see this, but I'll have to pull up the file later, so I'll let you guys know.
Alrighty.
Yeah, that was Dionysius, and we've always been playing a lot of his music on and off. He did send us a whole CD, so I'm slowly playing through the album. If you have music or art you want us to play, please send it to itiojism@gmail.com. Again, it's itiojism@gmail.com. And you can also contact me here on RF. Or Dreadfish, especially Dreadfish. Matter of fact, everyone who's listening to this episode right now, can you please do me a favor and send a private message to Dreadfish and say, blah, blah, Fisho, Mr. Fisho.
The 15th person will win a prize. And that's for real. We will give you some kind of prize if you're the 15th person to send me a random private message. But it has to contain blub blub Fisher.
There you go. the very first ever RF radio contest. We should really, really get a Rex on the show someday and then blackmail him into giving us money for things. Right? Like, I'd just be like, thank you, Wes, for being on the show, and more importantly, thank you for the $1,000 donation to the show. Really appreciate your kindness.
That's a good one.
I didn't donate $1,000. Yes, he took our money away.
That's a great idea for doing that. Anybody willing to volunteer for that role?
We need to talk to Rex, the owner of the site. What we really need to do is we can ambush him, because we can call people off of the software here. So if someone can find his number, I can call Rex from the show, and we can surprise interview him and get money to both do it out of him.
That's true.
So Quagmire, please call me. I need to know his number, and I know Quagmire knows. Everyone PM Quagmire asking for Rex's phone number.
Somehow I don't think that'll work.
I do.
We ought to start
getting
doing prank
off
calls.
The staff.
So speaking of questionable...
I'm sorry to inform you, but your staff hours have been revoked. Apparently you had 15 people private message me going, blub, blub. What's Rex's phone number?
Speaking of abuse of power and questionable decisions, I was reading today in the news that apparently Kim Jong-un had his, let me find it. He had his defense minister executed. Not sure why.
Because he's young or slept or something, right?
Let's see. It was reportedly he killed him for disloyalty. So, you know, of course, don't really know what that means. It's North Korea. But, you know, that's North Korea, like I just said. There's not much more to say about it.
Teacher, I read somewhere something about him yawning or sleeping or falling asleep, and that was a sign of disrespect and why he was killed.
Could be. Yeah, they have some weird stuff going on when it comes to the propaganda. Like, you know, with Kim Jong-il, they, you know, propagated, the idea that, you know, he's
so
basically...
Propagated means to, like, spread or, like, increase, like, the population propagated.
Right.
Propaganda
and so,
would be the word you're looking for, right?
Would it be? I don't know, I think they're related. Propaganda stuff propagated, I think. On topic, I remember some of the things they had about Kim Jong-un, or Kim Jong-il. He's basically a demigod,
okay,
you know.
Okay, so propagated means to propagate, to cause, to multiply. So exactly like I said a moment ago. And then, I guess, I don't even know how to spell that. Okay, and then propagandize is, according to dictionary.com, is a word, and it's the verb to propagate or publicize by means of propaganda.
All right. Well, I was right then on the propagandize. Didn't know if that was a word.
Mm-hmm.
But among the propaganda was that Kim Jong-il invented the hamburger. On his first game of golf ever, he played a perfect game. And also, he never had to go to the bathroom, you know, because his body was 100% efficient.
Wait, is he the most interesting man in the world? Does he also drink beer?
I don't know if he does, but when he does, it's probably Dusty Keith. So, yeah, some of the stuff suggests that... Yeah, some of this stuff suggests that Kim Jong-un might be kind of panicky, that he's perceiving, you know, threats to his power and that sort of thing, and he's willing to kill anybody. So maybe it's
shaky, but
maybe he's actually...
Or that's just the Western propaganda.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. So who knows? Like this article suggests it could be that, or it could be that, you know, he's just a murderous tyrant. You know, I mean, some of the people as compared to in this were Mao Zedong and Stalin, and both of them were, you know, perfectly willing to kill anybody who might
maybe
question
he's
them.
Going crazy, or maybe he's just a murderous villain.
Yeah. You know, so who knows?
Speaking of Kim Jong-il, did you ever see the interview?
No, I never did see it. Was it any good?
You know what? When I watched it, I had very low expectations. I was like, oh, it's going to be a Seth Rogen movie. And then it had the whole propaganda about, you know, the whole, like, hacking thing, which I thought was entirely faked. I think Sony hacked themselves, and the whole thing was nothing but a publicity stunt. Eventually, Netflix was like, oh, by the way, it's free on Netflix. So after, like, 3 weeks of me trying to ignore it, I was just like, all right, let me check it out. It bordered the line between stupid and hilarious, but for the most part, it found itself on the side of hilarious. Overall, I had a good impression and a good time watching the movie. Just don't expect it to be anything other than a basic donor Seth Rogen movie.
Yeah, I guess I'll eventually watch it just for the sake of seeing it. I haven't really felt inclined to watch it because it did look like it was just kind of stupid. But yeah, I guess
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I've liked some of the other Seth Rogen and I just forgot his name, but those movies, James, what's his last name?
Franco,
yes. I've enjoyed some of their other movies. I liked Pineapple Express. That was a pretty dumb movie, but it was fun. And they're fun movies. I'm not usually into that kind of stupid, crude comedy, but sometimes it's really good.
Yeah. I felt this. It's hit a few of those action adventure notes, a few of those romance comedy notes. So it had a little bit of diversity to it, but it was mostly just a stupid comedy. Very stupid comedy. That being said, I was pleasantly surprised by it.
And speaking of comedy, reminds me of my favorite, I guess my favorite comedic writer and director ever is Mel Brooks. You know, I think that those are just some of the best comedy movies ever. I wish we had some more comedy movies in that style, but I think that kind of style of comedy is kind of, It's a style of comedy from a different generation, I think.
Hey, so since today's topic is current events, I guess you should talk about, you know, Bernie Sanders coming into as a Democratic nominee. I don't think there's anyone else besides him and Hillary right now. I'm really excited about Bernie running. Where I actually might end up registering as a Democrat, just like the vote from the primaries. I've heard a lot of people actually say that, too, so.
Yeah, I'm not actually registered to vote, but I actually might, just so I can vote for him. He does seem pretty cool. I've heard good things about him. I've heard some
and
people
we'll do
compare
a detailed
him.
Episode of him, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've heard some people compare him to basically like the young person's kind of candidate, just like Ralph Nader or Ron Paul, but I don't know.
Well, you know, I'll start doing some research, and maybe in a few weeks I can give a more informed report on him for you.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I would like to learn a little bit more.
Okay, maybe you can interview me about why I want to vote for him.
Yeah.
There could be an interesting episode. And if you have a candidate you favor, we'd love to interview you about that and why. You can,
yes,
you know, contact again, Redfish or Ada OJ, or you can call in right now at 646-200-4733. Again, that's 646-200-4733. Call now. The 27th caller will receive a $2 million check.
Yeah, and if anybody has any other kind of topics they'd like to be interviewed on, we're always looking for something to talk about or somebody to talk to. So anything that you want to talk about, if you feel you have something you want to tell anybody about, you know, let us know and might be able to get you on the show.
Or maybe you're someone you know you want to hear. You want to recommend
right.
someone. That's okay, too.
Yeah. And if you want to say something but you don't want to be on the show, we also accept pre-recorded segments. Even if it's just one time or if you want to do something recurring, you're welcome to ask either Itty or I. Just send a private message to us or ask us in chat whenever we're online, and we'll definitely consider it.
We also accept music, artwork, poetry, and short stories. The music, obviously, pre-recorded. With poetry or short stories, you can either pre-record you speaking it, or you can call into the show and recite it live on the air. With art, we've done this before with some of Sunstone's paintings. We just display it as the image for that episode. So that can be paintings, drawings, graphic designs. Am I missing any? Clay sculptures, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything. We also accept cash money or PayPal credit, anything like that you feel like contributing.
Yes. Yes. We do have, and I think you can find this in my signature on F. We do have a fundraiser for this show. The show costs about $500 a year to run. You use the software that we're using to get the hour and the amount of callers we can get and the future trip we're currently using. And it costs about $500 a year. We've raised about like 300 of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have that going on. So we're okay right now. But if you'd like to donate to that, we have that. And we're going to take this moment to thank our major contributor to this point, Wellnamed. He's donated a lot of money and as well as Skype credits to allow this show to happen. And we really appreciate him. As you guys probably know, he also usually submits a segment as well each week, and he won't have one this week, and he apologizes for that, but he'll be back next week. Don't you guys worry. I believe Lewis Notmiller is taking a hiatus at the moment. As you may have noticed on RF, his work bike has been pretty hectic the last several months, and quite honestly, the fact that he's been able to work as much as he's worked and still produce segments for our show has been pretty impressive, but he's going to go on temporary hiatus, so hopefully we see him back in a few weeks, and we wanted to thank him for everything he's done so far, and we look forward to further contributions, and what's that C word where we work together?
Collaborations.
Yes, there we go.
Now, speaking of collaboration, we had an idea recently. We haven't really pursued it yet, but we would like to do a old cheesy radio play. So if anybody's interested in being a part of that in any way, then definitely let us know. I think it'd be really fun. I imagine we would have a few people to play different characters, and we'll probably procure some sound effects as well. So if anybody's interested in having anything to do with this, whether you want to help write something, if you want to be a voice actor, or if you have an old radio play that we might be able to use, or if you want to suggest something, then definitely let us know.
Hey, I have an idea real quick. It just struck me right now. Why don't you do a War of the Worlds recitation? It's kind of like an H.G. Wells thing. Maybe it can cause a public panic and everything.
Yeah. Could be interesting. I wonder if there are any copyrights in the way, but that could be worth trying out.
Oh, we'll look into that. Written by H.G. Wells, and then was Orson Welles was the one who read it on the radio? Or is it the other way around?
I have no idea, to be honest. I'll have to look that up.
Forget now.
Yes, it was written by H.G. Wells. Let's see. No, I can't find anything about Orson Welles yet, but it was written by H.G. Wells.
We would also hope that possibly we could get some constructive criticism from you guys. You know, what's your favorite episode? What's your least favorite episode? What do we do best? What do we do worst? What are your favorite segments? What are your favorite topics? Where do you want the show to go? Where has the show gone? And how do you feel about all of that? You know, it helps us grow and mature as hosts and, program schedulers. And, you know, we've been doing this show for, what, like 2 months now pretty solidly with, you know, definitely we've gotten a lot of interaction and with you guys. But it would be nice to maybe get some feedback and we can really kind of look at ourselves and kind of start to grow. Because sometimes, even if I might notice an issue I have or Dredd might notice an issue, there's a certain level of apathy people develop when people don't point out errors or issues. And the same thing happens when people aren't, you know, pointing out successes as well. So, you know, without people pointing out what we, you know, do excellently and what we do poorly, it's hard for us to focus on those things and learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if you want to call in, you can call in at 646-200-4733 and tell me that today's episode was the worst episode ever. You guys just meandered for an hour, idiot. I don't even – you said it was about current events. All that shit happened last month, guys. Come on.
Or you can call in and tell me that the show is awesome. Your choice. You can't tell the wrong thing to the wrong person.
I happen to have a phone number, though. And that phone number is 646-200-4733.
That's 646-200-4733.
You stole my phone number, guys.
Hey, it's my phone number, too. We are co-hosts, I believe.
It is true.
Now, our researchers have told me that the radio broadcast was indeed narrated and directed by Orson Welles. So
okay.
You're correct.
Well, thank
that.
You, researchers.
Yes. We do have a dedicated team of researchers. We have expanded our operations a good little bit.
Are our researchers in the chat room?
No, they're in my head.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like the voices.
I don't know. I don't hear the voices now. That might be something you should check out.
Then how the hell are the researchers telling you what they discovered? Make up your mind. Are the researchers out there, or do you hear no voices?
I'm splitting my personality. One of them is researching, the other is doing the show right now.
Okay. How do you communicate between the two personalities, though?
Well, I mean, there's more than one researching right now.
But again, how do they communicate?
Well, they're in the same brain.
So then they're hearing their voices inside their heads. So you are hearing voices.
No. We communicate via, like, you know, neurons firing. Yeah.
Well, I don't believe distinct personalities can communicate that way. That's part of the.
I'm not sure if they can either, actually. Yeah, I'm mostly just.
Lying. You don't have researchers.
Man, I'm just protecting my sources. Like, to be honest, it's a journalistic thing, you know. I took a professional research and writing class, that sort of thing.
I really like Deep Throat. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pause for so long, but I actually had to mute it because I was laughing so hard. Catching my breath. Oh, I believe he dropped his phone, so that's the reason why he paused. I was laughing at my own lame joke. Apparently, he laughed so hard he dropped his phone, so it happens. I don't know why I just locked up so bad. I'm sorry, guys.
Sorry, I just had technical difficulties.
She started yelling at me. She's like, talk. And I'm like, say what? And she's like, talk. And I'm like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, sorry, my call just dropped. I've been having problems with that lately, but I'm back. So everything's okay now.
When you do these shows, do you hold your phone or do you put it on speakerphone on the desk in front of you?
I hold it. That might be.
You should try putting it on. You should try putting it on speakerphone and letting it rest on the desk, because that's what I do. And it seems the sound quality. We haven't gotten any complaints about my voice, so that's good. And I haven't dropped once, so that's good.
How's this sound?
This one's perfect. Actually, a little clearer. It's not as mumbled together.
Well, that's cool. Actually, I might do it. I don't like the speakerphone sound, but I can put headphones on my phone and then do it that way. All right, innovation. And this is how RF, Radio RF, is working hard to innovate, stay ahead of the curve on technological issues to better serve you, the listener.
We are looking to fill a position, and it doesn't pay. At least not until the super future when we're all making, you know, a bunch of money. If that ever happens, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. And we need a social media guru. We need someone to run, like, a Facebook page and a Twitter page for Radio RF. We really need to get the message out there. And, one, I just want to, you know, rev up the viewership of this show. However, it has the added benefit of bringing people to RF. So it's really a win-win. Getting out and making this show popular through social media. However, I'm not a social media person. Dressfish is neither. It's just we're not that kind of person, you know? It is a certain type of personality, a certain skill set, and a certain whatever that I just simply lack. You know, and forms are completely different than social media, by the way. The people you deal with, the way people feel, the way people think. It just attracts a very different crowd of people, and the interactions are incredibly different. Which is something that's always surprised me. Have you noticed that at all?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm really not into social media either. I use it to keep track of friends and, you know, communicate with people. I don't have their phone numbers. We don't see each other very often. It's cool for that, but I don't like pages. I don't really share anything unless I find something interesting. So I'm definitely not really a person to promote something on social media.
I always feel, like, spammy when I'm, like, posting images. But then I also fail to realize that, like, when you post something, like, only 10% of your friends, like, see it most of the time anyways. So when you post it 30 times, only, like, 2 friends see it 100 times. The rest only see it, like, a half a time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because of the way Facebook works, that has to do with how much you post. Like, the more you post, the more people interact with it, the more they see it. Since I don't post very much, people don't interact with me on Facebook, and they don't see what I post, which is kind of too bad the way that works, but, you know.
So, again, we need one of you to run Radio RF, the Facebook page, and Radio RF, the Twitter page. And, you know, I mean, the goal would be twofold. One, you'd simply be sharing the episodes, promoting them both before the episodes to get a rev up live for us, you know, listeners, as well as sharing it afterwards to build up the archive listens. Two, it would just build up interest in the show, the host, and, you know, our forum in general. So a lot of it would be, you know, talking about things that are going on in RF with the show, with us, as well as just topical, important, interesting information about, you know, anything from religions to politics. As well as, you know, looking for people to be on the show, speak on the show, to discuss and debate on the show, to add music to the show, and that kind of stuff. So, you know, would you be interested in doing something like that? If so, contact the Dreadfish Rye.
Yes, and like we mentioned, there's no pay. However, you will have the satisfaction of being an official Radio RF associate. You can tell all your friends.
However, if you're very successful, you would help us earn money for the show by getting us lots of listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. So the only thing preventing us from paying you is you doing your job.
So if we don't have you, it's all or nothing here. We need somebody or nobody.
What was that?
Phone alarm. You don't normally hear it because I'm not on speakerphone.
That was your alarm?
Yes, I use alarms to remind me of things because I'm very absent-minded.
Okay. I'm assuming that alarm was to tell everyone good night, good morning, good afternoon.
And good now.
We'll do better next time in the words of Lewis Miller.
We'll try our best.